We continue our series of candidate interviews here ahead of the November 3rd election day, and today we're speaking with John Mata, who is running for the Riley County District 3 Commission seat. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to have you on again. Just to remind folks, I know we've talked before, but kind of what motivated you here to run for this position?
Well, as you know, I've served on the Manhattan City Commission before, back from 2011 to 2015. Enjoyed the government service, and I wanted to give back to the community. At the time, I was working full-time at Foot Locker, which also included a lot of travel. So it was a pretty rough go, you know, doing the 4 years there and working full-time. And I kind of looked at it after I retired, wanting to do something like it again. And I kind of targeted the county commission because, unlike the city commission, which has a city manager that takes care of everything operationally, is in the county, you actually are in charge of operations for the county. And this is where I can bring my business experience to bear. And I think it's one of the things that I offer more so than any of the other candidates is I've had 35 years of managing, you know, operations larger than the county. I mean, the county's got probably about a little under $70 million budget, a little under 300 employees, where I've managed budgets closer to $100 million, you know, with well over 1,000 employees. And I've been, you know, very successful in improving services quality while at the same time lowering costs. So I'm really excited about the idea to apply that, you know, to county operations. And it's a big part of my campaign.
Well, what has this year taught you about, you know, just the immediate needs of people here in the county, given everything that's been affected by COVID?
Well, a big part of it being affected by COVID is a lot of administration of, you know, the aid packages coming in. And I know that's really stretched county staff. They did hire a consultant to help them, and it's really got them involved a lot more in the community, in the business community. Of course, it's also, you know, highlighted that the county commission is also the Board of Health and has to deal with those issues. And that's one of the things that, you know, in talking to people in the community, they're obviously very concerned about the health issues with COVID from the virus itself. But they're also very concerned about the economic fallout and want to make sure that we balance the two. And also the health issues that, you know, come about by whatever measures we take. I mean, we have to fear what's happening with the virus, but with some of the lockdowns that happen, some of the things with depression because of the lockdowns or because of people losing their businesses and livelihoods is causing a lot of other, you know, medical issues or people not getting into the doctor for things like cardiovascular, cancer screening, and those things. So it really has to be a balance, and it's really having to listen to a lot of different people, you know, health experts, business community. Obviously, we have K-State, and, you know, working with everyone to come up with a plan that keeps us safe from the virus, but also keeps us safe from some of the things I just talked about. And also, we need to work on that economic plan to how we bring Riley County, you know, back from this.
And I heard this morning Governor Kelly's she met with some lawmakers yesterday trying to do a statewide mask mandate again here. And I know it sounds like it's going to be a recommended thing here for the counties. Do you think that needs to be rethought here, at least in Riley County? I know Manhattan's got the mask mandate. Should we have one at the county level?
I think what we have right now seems to be working. Even when I'm out in the rural areas of the county, or like I was up in Leonardville for the law board meeting, everyone there was still wearing masks. I think our compliance is pretty good. What I fear about the mandate, too, is then is how do you enforce that? And do we create a bigger problem by trying to say that we are going to mandate it and put have in some sort of penalty and then have to go in and supervise that situation? You know, things are getting worse. If you've watched Europe, they're having a very difficult time, even in the U.S. and the state of Kansas as well. Riley County has been holding on pretty well. We do have the students that'll be going home in a few weeks. And I think we need to cautiously look at how we can get things going again. But we're on a difficult time. We're going to have to see what circumstances dictate. One thing about the mask is, for the most part, it's there to protect the other person. So we may want to look at something that if you're not able to socially distance from someone, that you should be, you know, wearing a mask and try to make sure that people are looking out for the health of others.
All right. You mentioned the economic impact that this is going to have. In terms of continuing to meet the level of services that the communities demand here, given the fact that resources just may not be there here in the next budget cycle, where do you see like the biggest needs to watch?
I mean, obviously we have to keep the health department operating well. That's a group that's been under a lot of stress. I mean, they never anticipated that they were going to have to deal with all the things they're dealing with. I mean, even just think about every Monday morning in the meeting, Ms. Gibbs having to give an update of everything that's happening. I mean, that takes a lot of work to put together. So we have to make sure that that group stays healthy and has the right resources. We also, as I mentioned before, have to make sure to administer any of the aid coming in and getting it to those businesses, as well as getting it to people that may need it. There's certain resources even there for renters where they can get up to $5,000 to help pay off past due rents. And we need to make sure that everyone knows about that and assist them with being able to get those tools. The other thing is to be working with the business community and with the health department to where can we do things like, can we expand hours of operations, even if we can't take up occupancy? So to help out with things in that nature. And obviously being working with Kansas State and Fort Riley on having a consistent voice and again, making sure that we're healthy and we're getting the resources because the county has to administer them to all those groups, but see how, you know, hopefully the circumstances will dictate where we can start, you know, opening things up. And then that's where the county needs to start looking at some long-term plans of, you know, rural economic development. How do we help the small cities? How do we work in cooperation with Manhattan to make sure that everything's taken care of?
You know, this is maybe just beating the old drum here a little bit, but in terms of emergency medical services, we know there's the ambulance issues in the north part of the county. How would you try to improve upon that? And do you have a plan here for improving emergency medical services in the county?
Yeah, I mean, that has been the issue that's been talked about a lot from the folks in the North County. Greg's been calling for that for years, trying to work with the county commission. It does need to be addressed. I'm committed to getting that service in the North County so that they do not have such long response times. It can be done, you know, in a number of ways. If we can get reciprocal agreements with other counties, whether we can have someone up there who could assist in those emergency situations. But bottom line, we need to get an ambulance service that can get there in an expeditious amount of time. I think that EMS, though, is an area that needs to be addressed overall. The station at Claflin is not good. That needs to be reworked. 2013, when the strategic plan was put together for the county, it was that EMS station that was seen at as the biggest need from as far as a capital improvement in expenditures, but it's been 7 years and it hasn't happened. So I think we need to take care of North County, and I think it's a need we need to take care of rather quickly. But at the same time, I think we need to address the whole EMS situation and put whatever we do there in context of improving that overall area of the county services.
Again, we're speaking with John Mata, a candidate here for Riley County Commission, District 3. You're a former Manhattan City Commissioner, so imagine part of your platform is improving upon relationships between Riley County and the City of Manhattan.
Yes, it is, because it's a big one for a couple of things. I mean, I have three things. One's the efficiency, the other is economic development, and the third one is better regional cooperation, whether that's with the City of Manhattan, with Pottawatomie County, with Geary County, or the small cities. Because I think to get the true efficiencies, we're going to have to see where we can combine forces on initiatives like consolidated dispatch or sharing maintenance equipment or even facilities, because that way we can all win. And then when it comes to economic development, we need to all be on the same page with as far as what those initiatives are. You know, I was one that was calling very early for the groups to work together, for example, on the sales tax initiative. I was part of getting that passed when I was on the city commission. And being on the city commission, I had to work with Riley County and Pottawatomie County and Gary for that matter. So I already have some insights on how those counties work. As far as Gary County, I worked in Gary County and Junction City for over 20 years. I also served on the Junction City Chamber of Commerce Board. So I'm familiar with that as well. So I think I'm, you know, well positioned to do that. I know city staff. I know some of the, you know, I know the commissioners. I actually know all the commissioners, but I work with some of them as well. And I'm committed to work with them, not just when there's a joint county city meeting or whatever, but to get with them and talk through those things, even outside those meetings. You know, I've already met with Dee McKee, toured with her Pottawatomie County, went through the issues that are over there and some of their hot button issues. So that's a big part of what I want to get done.
Well, just kind of off that question then, or off that point there, do you support, I know Dee's big fan of the potential bridge over the river there. Is that something that you would be considering going forward?
I don't say I'm support or not support. What I am willing to do is sit down and work with her in Pottawatomie County and look at all those options. I think a big frustration of hers is that it keeps getting dismissed out of hand, and no one's willing to sit down and work with them and look at all those options. But yeah, that is a big part of, you know, what she is interested in.
One thing that the city and the county work kind of in tandem on is the Riley County Police Department, the way that is funded. Do you think that in terms of the budget, I know there's been some disagreements in the past between the two entities. Is that something that could or should be considered on the 80-20 split?
I think we can look at it. The one thing is I don't want to come up with some sort of plan that is a big cost shift one way or the other between the rural residents and the city residents. I think we can come up with a plan that makes it equitable for all, and there isn't a big shift of cost between any of the two, but it's a good plan as we go forward, and as both the county and the city grow, we make sure that it's equitable. Obviously, one of the issues that come up with that, and I was chair of the law board for a couple of years when I was on the city commission, is the fact that you've got Pottawatomie County, which is, you know, outside of Riley County, but still needs that police service. So whether, you know, you could come up with something that might change that split, but then the city would have to kick in a certain amount for that Pottawatomie County coverage. And could that be a better way to, you know, work out the cost? More than willing to sit down and look at it. Don't have some big global plan ahead of time. But it has been an issue that's come up in the past. And I think there's other things we want to look at as far as the law board, you know, some talk about making sure that we have a county representative on the law board, you know, that would be good. And how we make sure there's some continuity between different law boards, that, you know, certain things we make sure that they always cover from year to year.
All right. Well, you know, there's been talks of transparency and maybe changing the meeting structure here at the Riley County Commission meetings. Do you favor any of that? I imagine transparency is probably important to you.
Yeah, that was a big thing. And especially early on in the primaries, there was a lot of talk about that. And actually, just about every candidate, both Democrat and Republican that were running, was bringing up transparency, wanting the meetings to be broadcast. They finally are broadcast. Yeah, I've got a lot of ideas on what we can do there. One, we really need to improve the quality of that broadcast, because when it's done, the audience that's watching online can't see the slides. The sound's not very, very good. One of my ideas is to get, you know, the combination of Riley County, the city of Manhattan, and the police department, they're all doing broadcasts, and all of them could be better, is to try to get us all to together. Again, some of that, you know, government cooperation, maybe we can save some money and make them all better. The other thing is to do some meetings at night so people have a chance to attend. Not every meeting, but I think if there's big meetings having to do with the budget or a big real estate purchase like the church purchase that was done, is to make sure that gets a lot of publicity, and then that do that meeting at night so other people, you know, or people that can't normally come during the day because they're working, can come at night and personally be able to participate in it. The other thing is making sure that stuff on the agenda is always on the tentative agenda, or that people know ahead of time it's going to be covered, because there were some pretty big issues like a vote on the sales tax, the vote on the church purchase, that were never on the tentative agenda, but then they were on the regular agenda. And also in the past, there's sometimes items being brought up for votes that weren't on any agenda, and so making it so they have to be there. Also, the city uses a process where they do a second vote and on like ordinances. And I don't want to do a, and the county does resolutions, not ordinances, but I don't want to necessarily have a second vote on everything, but set a parameter where for a budget or a large purchase or something like a sales tax initiative, that there is a second vote. Because when I was on the city, lots of times the action really didn't start till after that first vote. And then people said, oh, wow, this is going on. I want to get down there to be there for the second vote in order to get that part, you know, that participation in the meeting. The other is to move the meeting around the county, to have it in some different places so more people are able to attend. And so those are, you know, some of the ideas. Oh, one last one is also the flow of the meeting. There's a lot of waiting between topics, and lots of times meetings go much longer than they really need to be. Is getting the consent agenda to take care of those really routine things, and then to have an agenda that more flows from topic to topic and giving people general times when they're going to be there so we can make the meetings a lot faster. The other is that for the county, there's a lot of just pure business stuff that needs to be taken care of because they are managing the departments. And lots of times people come down and will give comments, and their comments kind of really aren't talked about because it said it's a business meeting. I think we need to have some meetings that are more like town halls and really an interaction between the commission and the people that want to come and ask questions. And I think it should be incumbent upon the commissioners, and I know it'll make it incumbent upon myself, that if someone does have a comment, I just don't say thank you and then move on, that, you know, give them, you know, some answer or some explanation, or let them know that, you know, we've heard them and we're taking in, it into consideration.
All right. Well, John, that's all the questions I have. Any last thoughts here before I let you go?
Well, I just want to thank you for the interview. And the election's getting pretty close, so I want to use this opportunity to thank all those people who have supported me throughout the campaign. We had really good fundraising for the campaign, had a good amount of volunteers to help out. I want to thank my treasurer, Christy Harmer, for her hard work. And while I want everyone to vote, you know, Mata for Riley County, I do want to wish the other candidates well. You know, it's, we don't get enough people who are willing to, you know, run for public office. I know we have one house seat, local house seat, where they're running unopposed, and lots of places only have one candidate. You know, if you go throughout Kansas, and it, you know, it isn't an easy grind for people to put them out, put themselves out there and run. So I just want to wish everybody well.
All right, John, appreciate it. And good luck on Tuesday.
Thank you.